What song do you want to hear, Dan?
Beer!
You are now listening to America's favorite craft beer podcast, a show that covers tricks, tips, and trends inside the craft beer industry. I am your host, craft beer enthusiast, Tom Simpson. Next to me, my co-host, a man with more untapped check-ins than you have steps on your Fitbit, the adjunct professor himself, Mr. Dan Holloway. Tune in, sit down, and drink up. And most importantly, thank you for joining us on another episode of America the Brew.
Guess I'll have to wait until then. And if I get drunk, well, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby. You won't bother me no more.
Welcome to Season 4, Episode 7 of America the Brutiful. March is here, and with it, spring. But also, Pi Day and dessert stouts. St. Patrick's Day and green beers, and lots of killer local beers that are getting nationwide attention.
Also, if you've been checking in beers on Untappd recently, you probably know this, but International Women's Day is also in March, and some of our favorite local breweries decided to make some special beers for it.
One of our favorite homebrewers is one step closer to achieving his dream. And that's great news for the craft beer community in New Jersey. And one of the most important craft beers in the world celebrates an anniversary.
Chase from Top Beer Drops joins to talk about the top-rated beers in the country. And we talk about the local releases that caught our eye.
But first, let's have our first beer.
And I'm excited for this one. So talk it up a bit, because you've already had it. First of all, how did you even get this?
Okay. I haven't done this in a very long time, but I saw this beer come out. I think I might have texted you, and I'm like, I just think this is going to be a good beer. Elder Pine's done a couple of very good barley wines before. I don't think I've ever had one of their barley wines. So, you know, reached out, Barley Wine Group, Proxy, you know, fairly inexpensive. It was a good deal. Came in a little four-pack of cans. This is, first of all, I don't know what it is today, but as of a few days ago, it was a 4.52 on Untappd. So that's a good rating.
And this one made it on Top Beer Drops, I believe.
Oh, did it?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, all right. So it is barrel-aged Lord Maris the Otter. Now it says here, limited offering, 24-hour boil English-style barley wine ale. Good start.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
And aged in port and sautern barrels for 14 months.
So this is going to be very interesting just from the port and sautern barrels.
I will say this. I did have a can. I waited as long as I could, and I couldn't anymore. And it is one of the more interesting barley wines I've really probably ever remember having.
Wow. All right.
I'm not saying like it's my all-time favorite barley wine. I'm just saying that the way they describe it, I'm getting pretty darn close. I mean,
it's got a very, raisin nose.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's got the, you know, it's got your classic barley wine features to it.
Okay. Yeah. Very interesting finish on this one.
Now it's funny. I gave some to my wife, and she has a good palate, better than mine. She can usually pick up on flavors. I'm like, this finishes like a white wine, which is interesting because it was aged in sautern barrels. And she's like, I don't taste that. I'm like, no, this is like drinking a white wine almost. You feel like it's going to be sweet.
Right.
And it just fucking like dissipates.
The body is there as a normal like English barley wine.
Yeah.
But the finish is completely different.
I will tell you, I mean, this has great ratings. People seem to either love it or hate it. There wasn't much in between.
Mostly love if it's a 4.52 on Untappd.
A lot of love. The one thing I think that they could have easily done differently, throw it in a bottle. It shouldn't be in a can. You know, a beer like this, it's not like super sweet. It's probably one of the more winier barley wines I've ever had. Mm-hmm. Put it in a bottle. You know, tell people to age it. I would have drank it cook anyway, but.
Yeah, I mean, people love cans now. It's a good vessel. You could have it four times. You got a four pack of it.
It's a lot less expensive. If it was a bottle, I probably would have paid the same price for two bottles as opposed to four cans. Same amount of liquid.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
All right, so, I mean, we're drinking barley wine. Let's talk about this because it's kind of one of our favorite home brewers is starting to brew now professionally.
Super exciting.
And who are we talking about? We're talking about Eskerhart.
So he had Logan from Field and Oak Brewing with him. I saw some posts on his Instagram about that or on stories.
Yes, if you follow his stories, they've already teased ahead to some dark beers. And if you read the post, they put a post about a week ago. They are saying very confident that the opening day should be in late April, early May.
It's a great trip. You know what I do? Hot dog Johnny's, then go, or maybe even reverse, I don't know. But definitely, I mean, hot dog Johnny's is only like 20 minutes away. It's not that far.
You don't want to blow up Bobby's bathroom the opening week.
Yeah, I'll blow up hot dog Johnny's bathroom.
All right, so big anniversary in the beer world, and that is Monk's Cafe. They are celebrating their 27th anniversary on March 9th.
Rare cellar sale of vintage Goose Tilquin bottles, plus a draft list featuring collaborations with Russian River, Lost Abbey, and Firestone Walker.
So let's go through that draft list right now. The Cantillon Five Generations 25th anniversary is one of those that is available. That was the first time that beer came out. It was on tap. I think it's the first time since then.
Wow.
And, you know, we talked to Tom. They're going to kind of every five-year anniversary, they're going to come out probably. So really cool that this one is on now.
Cantillon, how do you pronounce that? Nath, yep. 2022?
Yep. Firestone Walker, PNC, Monk's Cafe, 20th anniversary, 2017 is also on draft.
Firestone Walker, 20th anniversary, 2016.
Lost Abbey, 24 Steps, Monk's Cafe, 20th anniversary, 2017.
And Russian River, Monk's Cafe, 25th anniversary, December 2022.
So those are some really awesome kind of aged beers that they have on draft. But that's not all.
Absolutely not. They also have Russian River Pliny the Younger, February 2024. That's awesome.
Yeah. So big congrats and shout outs to Tom Peters. He's a friend of the show, legend in the beer world. You know, I was at Monk's a few weeks ago because I had to have the Generations. I was like, I don't know how long it's going to be there. Let me go. Let me make the trip out.
What'd you think?
It was fantastic beer.
Really?
Fantastic. Yes, yes.
What'd you rate it?
I think a 4.5 or 4.6, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really, really, really good. And I'm curious to see how it's going to be, especially with age over the years.
I am going to be in Philadelphia the week after for a concert. So hopefully I'll get to stop by. I'm not under the assumption that any of these beers will be there, but you know, I'm looking forward to at least getting there.
Decantillon may still be on the bottle list.
Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, I would also suggest Human Robot and get a sandwich from Poe's because those are some of the best sandwiches I've ever had in my life.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll do that. Okay. Also, Hop Culture lists over 300 breweries that are women-led, obviously, for Women's History Month.
So let's talk about some of the local releases that are in conjunction with Women's History Month.
Okay. Tin Barn, Pineapple Downside Upcake Fruited Sour, brewed in collaboration with our friends at Harlem Hops and Brown Girls Brew in celebration of Women's History Month, brewed with loads of pineapple and vanilla soft serve. No cherries, but it does contain lactose.
And then Oak Flower and Autodidact kind of did the same beer at different places. Not really the same beer because the ABV is different. There's some differences.
Okay.
But they kind of did collabs together. So we'll start with the Oak Flower version. It's called Parallel Lines, Oakies version. It's an 8.2% hazy double IPA. Again, I said collab with Autodidact. It's brewed in support of the Pink Boots Society. It's heavy on oats, and then it's juiced up with plenty of Citra along with that Pink Boots hop blend.
And Autodidact Parallel Lines, 8.5% New England double IPA. Again, that was brewed with Oak Flower and the Pink Boots Society. This double was brewed with Pink Boots Hop Blend as well.
And then last episode, we talked about Ghost Talk. They kind of put theirs out ahead of most people, and that was their Nobody's Darling beer that we mentioned.
Before we go to break, the New Jersey craft beer community lost a member this past week, way too young. Just a reminder to everyone to hug the ones you love and to reach out to those you care about. You never know what people are going through, and it can make a world of difference.
That's right. Really sad news. And coming up after the break, we'll be talking to a friend of mine who's moved up the craft beer ladder and has been very vocal lately about something that's very, very important, not necessarily beer related, but that is coming up right after this. And we are back. Season 4, Episode 7 of America the Brutiful. I've mentioned Wakefest over the history of this podcast many times, and one of the reasons is because of the amazing times that I've had at the festival and the people that I've met. So I want to welcome in one of those people, my friend Molly. Molly, welcome.
Hi, good to be with y'all.
So, Molly, let's start here. For those listening who don't know you, please tell us about your craft beer journey and what you do today.
Okay. Well, I've been in the beer industry for about 12 years now. And I've kind of done a little bit of everything, like from sales to taproom manager to running the canning line. And now I'm brewing full-time at Tripping Animals Brewing in Miami.
Which I think is amazing. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah. I'm excited to finally to be here doing that. So that's really cool.
So how was that process, first of all, from being kind of not a brewer to a brewer? Like, how did that begin?
Well, I used to homebrew with my friends like back in 2014, I think. And it was always, it was mostly just me like watching them do it and drinking the beer, but I like to say that I was doing it. but it was always just really interesting to me. I lived in Sarasota at the time, and a new brewery called J-Dubs opened up, and, I worked at this craft beer bar for about 4 years and, started like going in on my days off, watching them brew. So that's really how it kind of started. And then I've kind of been trying to get into the back of house since then. And when I met you when I was working at Wakefield back in 2020, they started giving me like cellar shifts. So that's really like where my production experience starts.
That's awesome. And I'm super proud of you and all the strides you've made. That's really cool. So, I mean, all that said, we asked you to join us today for another reason. Listen, you've worked at a bunch of breweries, you go to a lot of festivals, you know a ton of people in the industry. Recently, one thing that you've been calling attention to is mental health. So, you know, why did you start calling people's attention to this? You know, how personal is that to you?
For me, I've been in the service industry pretty much my whole working career in one way or another. So, my goal is to focus like mostly on the beer industry, but also just hospitality in general, because, you know, it's a lot of hours. A lot of people are burnt out. You have to be on all the time. And, you know, meanwhile, your normal life events are happening. You're losing people, you're losing a pet, you know, you're dealing with money problems or health problems, and you have to kind of push all of that back and not really address it. But it's just crazy to me because we're all going through a lot, you know? So my goal is to really like kind of break the stigma about talking about it and, to, you know, create like solutions or like a positive outlet for people so that we can still be happy. We can still feel what we're feeling, but also like move through it and be happy and find ways to be healthy and take care of ourselves.
You know, as much as we celebrate women in craft beer, it is a still very much a male-dominated industry. And men commit suicide at a rate of 4 times as high as women. I didn't realize that. That's an interesting fact. Why do you think it's so hard for guys to ask for help?
That's really why I wanted to start this, is because I would go to Beer Fest and I would have like one-on-ones with some, you know, most of my friends are males, obviously, and they would kind of vent to me about things. And I think it's harder for men because even though I feel that things are a little more open-minded now than they were like 20, 30 years ago, there's still just kind of like that pressure on you that like, oh, you got to be a man. You have to like, you talk about your feelings, you're weak. And I think that it really makes it hard for guys because they have to, I mean, overall, I feel like they have to bottle things up more maybe.
Now, yeah, how are you looking to help? How are you? Because, you know, I we've met, we've hung out, and you, I think you're kind of like me, that we're like fun people, at least on the outside, right? Like people want to open up and talk to us. How are you looking to help? I'm guessing a lot of people have probably opened up to you in the past.
Oh, yeah, all the time. I feel like I'm really good at connecting with people, and I'm a great listener, in my own opinion, but most of the time, unless it's for my own advice. But
sounds familiar.
I want to create kind of like a, well, this is my idea. I don't know if it's plausible, but I want to create like an open kind of anonymous forum for people to vent. You know, you could be a brewer, an owner, a bartender, you could be a consumer, like whoever, just to kind of like vent and talk with each other, like maybe sort of like Reddit style. But then also, you know, if your needs are more, because sometimes we just need to be like, man, I had a shitty day, and like, you know, this and this and this happened. And then someone else is like, oh, that happened to me 2 weeks ago, and that makes you feel better. But sometimes it's way deeper than that. And, you know, you need professional help, which I'm not a professional, but I would like to offer resources too, because there are a lot of free or inexpensive mental health resources out there. And I don't know why, but we're all just kind of like, either we don't know about them maybe, or we're just scared to use them, but they are out there. So that's kind of my goal, is to make those more available for people.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? I agree with you. You know, whatever. Hey, listen, we've all gone through rough times at one point in our life or another. And, you know, I am the type of person who is like more apt to talk about those things and share those things, but, you know, which maybe that makes it a little easier on me, but there's plenty of people that don't feel comfortable doing that, and they should not feel that way. It's
well,
you know.
I mean, being transparent, I'm like the opposite, right? Like when something's bothering me, like, I try to do what Molly was saying, which is the wrong thing to do if you're out there listening, is to like bottle it up and pretend everything is daisies, you know, everything is fine.
Well, yeah, we all do it, you know, because we don't want to put our problems on other people, and, you know, but I think, yeah, sorry to interrupt, but I think it's important for us to share with each other if we're able and comfortable doing it.
So, Molly, you work at Tripping Animals, so I have to ask you to talk a bit about Irie Jungle. It's on 420 this year. You've already listed some great breweries attending, Angry Chair, Brulahan, Brewhost, Fidens Everywhere, etc. For people that want to take a beer vacation, why should they choose to go to Miami and go to Irie?
Well, Irie Jungle is amazing. It's super fun. I've been going there since before I worked at Tripping. I know Hop Culture just did like 12 best beer fests in the country, and we were on there. I think this year we're doing like 80 plus breweries. I think it's a really cool fest because
80?
A lot
80?
Of 80, yeah.
Holy
80.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I think every year we just try to do a better job, and like, we're very open to feedback, and, you know, we have a lot of great food vendors. It's cool with the breweries because people that work, it's mostly people actually from the breweries, which is always nice when you go to a beer fest. It's in Miami, so, I mean, there's so much to do down there. It's beautiful. It's like not too hot yet. It's a little hot, but not too bad. But we just have a great selection, and I think our hospitality is like one of the things that I love about Tripping the most. So.
I will say that every time I've been there, everybody's been super friendly. Even if I don't necessarily know the people, everybody's super friendly.
And, you know, this time of year up in the Northeast, you really don't need much of a reason to go to Florida. You know, I think the temperature
like,
alone.
Come on down. Get away from all the rain and flesh and whatever.
I definitely will not be going in July or August, though. That's although here
don't
it sucks,
go in July
too.
Or August. Yeah. Or September. Well, then it's hurricane season, so. You have a small window, but Irie Jungle is in that window, so.
Now, you're joining us today from St. Pete. You're yep. down in the Tampa area for Tampa Bay Beer Week. You were in New York City a couple of weeks ago for New York City Craft Beer Week. Any differences that you've seen between the craft beer drinker in different parts of the country, or are we all kind of the same family? You know, feel free to roast us a bit. I mean, we have better bagels and pizza, so I won't hold anything against you.
Oh, yeah, I'm still dreaming about – I went to DeFonte's and had this sandwich there, and I'm still, like, dreaming about that.
Yes.
It's so good. I was, like, roast pork and eggplant, whatever, broccoli rob. anyway, I think there is a big difference. I mean, up in – I went to the New York City opening bash, which was super cool. You know, it was a lot of more classic styles. So I had some really great dark lagers. I had like a dry hop saison from the seed. Like, you know, there's just a lot of those kind of beers or like mixed culture. They work down here, but not as well, I feel like. So Florida is a big like pastry stout state, as we know. So down here, I feel like at Fest, you see more of the, like, fruited sours and the stouts. And it's still up there as well, but I feel like up in New York, it was more like the IPAs and then kind of like the fun, funky beers. And then just a ton of really good lagers.
So a few years ago, and this is going to be a question kind of to you and to Tom here, but a few years ago when I did go to Wakefest and I hung out at Wakefield afterward, I did a Jersey Turnpike at the end of the night.
Oh, boy.
And for those out there listening who don't know what that is, traditionally, like at a bar, it's emptying the bar mat. And you get maybe a shot glass worth or something like that.
Yeah, listen, let me interrupt you. I bartended for a very long time in my 20s.
Which is why I figured you'd have
this is usually reserved for the drunkest person in the bar.
Oh, yeah, they were definitely the drunkest people.
It's
well,
true.
They were the last people in the bar, too. So.
Yeah, that, too.
So, yeah, usually in a bar, you get what, like a shot glass, maybe a little bit more out of that.
I mean, you know.
This was like a whole pint. I had a whole pint.
It was a lot.
And it was...
It's the Florida version.
It was a mix of basically stouts and sours, which you don't necessarily want to mix together. It was probably not a good idea.
And then Dan rated it untapped.
New tip. Cuvée de Dan. Jay Wakefield.
I'm going to look when I get off the phone with y'all.
I have the video still. I can send it to you if you haven't seen it in a while. But what is the worst decision that you've seen somebody make at a brewery? And when I did that, did you think that, you know, I might puke when it happened?
I hope you made your flight.
It was rough. Yeah, we were out at
you
emo
had,
night.
Like a 7 a.m. flight or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we did emo night after the brewery for a really long time, and we all had super early flights. It was the next morning was not fun.
Yeah, I mean, Dan exceeds what I assume are limitations for a 40-something-year-old man in every sense of the word, and that was no exception, I'm sure.
I was under 40 at that time.
Yeah, whatever.
Maybe I can't do it anymore.
Okay, well, I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff. Because I've been to a lot of beer fests, and especially in Florida, like Florida going to Florida, we get some wacky stuff. But actually, I think I remember doing Pastry Town a few years ago in New York, and this girl was just like done. Like she was laying outside, and like, you know, in her own vomit, and it was so bad. Her boyfriend took her home and everything, but
we hope it's her boyfriend. Although I don't think you want to pick anybody up with vomit on themselves.
No. Yeah, it's.
I'd be like, see you tomorrow. Bye.
Here's an Uber. You'll call me an Uber.
I'll call an Uber, but you have to pay the cleaning fee. But I've seen some stuff at some other fest down here too. So.
No doubt, I'm sure that could be its own episode.
It's not going to be good for your gut.
Well, pastry stouts and 90-degree weather is not a good combo, necessarily.
It's not, but it's just like a thing here, and I, you know, that's
Molly,
what we do.
You don't understand. I mean, and you know who you're talking to. You know Dan. You know, yeah. I get texts from my friends who have only met Dan once or twice, and they're like, you know, Dan's posting his beer shares on our Instagram, and they're like, how the hell is Dan Holloway drinking that many stouts that many days in a row? Like, I have no idea. I don't know how he does it. Lots of water, I guess.
Yeah, we want to know the secret of what do you do?
It's something internal that is probably, you know, baffles science. Hey, lastly, Molly, you know, what's next for you? What are your goals in craft beer, and what is your goal in your efforts to support mental health?
Oh, man, I've been thinking about this for a while. I'm still thinking about it, but, you know, my goal, I would like to stay in this industry. I have been in it for over a decade, and I really, really love the community that craft beer is. It's just such a unique thing that really no other industry that I've seen has, as far as like connections and family, you know. And so I'd like to stay in, continue brewing for now. You know, everyone's goal, I feel, eventually is like have our own place. Not sure if I want to own a brewery at this time, but something.
But before you continue, you know, I didn't even ask you this. What's your favorite style to brew?
Oh, I really like brewing lagers because they're just, I mean, it's hard to make a good lager, but hazy IPAs use a lot of oats and like things that get real sticky. And so sometimes they're a little more of a pain to make. But we do Dark No Mamas. It's like a dark lager. It's one of our cores, and I really like making that beer too because it smells like chocolatey in the brewery when we're doing it. It's a lot of like dark malt. Mm.
So. Sold.
Sounds good. Well, thank you.
Oh, so good.
Thank you very much for joining us today. You know, good luck with your continued efforts, both personally, professionally, and you know, hopefully. I mean, I know Dan gets down to Tampa. I've been trying to get down there, but hopefully, we'll see you down there one day soon.
Yeah, come down for Irie Jungle 420. Make a plug.
All right, you talked me into it. I'll see you there.
All right, come on, it's fun. Right. I'll make you do a Jersey Turnpike.
No. All right, thank you so much for joining us, and we are super jealous of you getting to enjoy Tampa Bay Beer Week. It's one of my favorite things in the world. I haven't done it in a few years. I should try to do it soon.
Yeah, come down next year. It's been cool. It's grown a lot, and I think you know, there are a lot of events going on, so hopefully I'll make it through till Sunday.
Well, we wish you luck. All right, guys. Coming up after the break, local releases. That's coming up after this.
Welcome back. Season 4, episode 7 of America the Brutiful. Thank you very much for sticking with us. Here we are, local releases. We're going to start with Conclave.
Yeah, let's do it, man. So I stopped by there. So when I was in Texas, as I mentioned before, Conclave put out that they were releasing one of the new Crowlers in their Symbology series. And I'm like, ooh, I want that, but we're in Texas. I saw that the pickup was until Wednesday. I'm like, I will be back by then.
Oh, and it was still there.
So, well, no. So you order it. It sells out quick online. And then you have until a certain date to pick it up. So I went to pick it up. This one is called Merkaba. It's a 9.3% triple IPA. It's the fifth of the Symbology series. And I want to give a shout-out to Rob, who works at Conclave. I went there, and he recognized me. We had some beers with him at District 96 a while back.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And he was able – he said, hey, it's like pick up your Crowlers. You want to try it first? I'm like, fuck yeah, I do.
Is there a resurgence in – in hype and like line life? I mean, you said, you know, this is selling out super quick. You've got lines at Over Creek for Quartet. You know, is there like a resurgence here going on that I'm just not really...
I don't know, man.
It's weird, right? Because it was so long where it was just like things were just sitting.
I think the issue is means, right? So when you have a lot of you know, people like to get stuff easily. So online is super easy. Right. Online things sells out quick, and that's great. The brewery sells out of what they're selling. The lines has to be something, you know, I don't know, different. You need to make a real, like, commitment to go for lines.
Right. But, yeah. you're, you know, now I hear that, like, the quick sellouts, obviously true and always doesn't make a difference, but, you know, Conclave, not traditionally. I mean, it's just interesting that people are like, oh, this is Conclave. This beer is going to be good. I'm going to get it real quick. It's going to sell out.
Yeah. And the beers will, you know, a lot of their good beers sell out all the time, but, you know, when you do it online, I think people just feel like, oh shit, I got to get it. You know, like I got to get it right now or I'm not going to be able to get it.
True.
So let's crack this bad boy open. Right. I'm excited for you to try this. It was super, super good. I don't know how much of...
It's a triple.
Yes. Of their Symbology series IPAs.
That was a good job pouring that fucking big growler in that little glass.
I guess. It got a lot of head on it, but...
Yeah, it could have been worse. So, yeah. Merkaba.
Yes.
Right? Triple IPA.
Yes.
9.3%.
And the one thing that they don't do with these, because I'm tasting this beer at the brewery, and I'm like, well, what hops are in this, right? And I asked Rob, and he's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if they listed it. And I'm like, oh, I'll go on Untappd. Not on Untappd. Oh, I'll go on Instagram. Not listed, so, you know.
This smells like juice.
It's super, super good. So you also mentioned Troon. Let's talk about Troon as well. I was there yesterday. We're recording on a Friday for their Doppelbach release.
All right.
Which is, you think of Troon as maybe mostly hoppies, and it has been mostly hoppies, but they released Infernal Cauldron, a 10% Doppelbach conditioned on Palo Santo and Papua New Guinea vanilla beans.
Did you try it?
I did not try it yet. I was kind of in and out there.
Looked interesting.
Yeah, I want to try it because I'm a big fan of Doppelbach, so.
Yeah, Quarter Flames, also a Troon release, 9.7% hoppy ale, re-fermented with peach and conditioned on coconut. Did you try that one?
I did try that one. So I went
because I, you know, saw some people were like, but most reviews seem to be good.
It's good. It's I've had, some of the adjuncted IPAs I've liked better recently. They did one with honey that was awesome. They did one with mango that was awesome. I like both of those better than Corridor, but Corridor was great. And I always think with Troon beers, like, got to give it some time.
And yeah, that's true. And I think the Troon uses honey in their IPAs better than a lot of people, or hoppy ales, whatever you want to call them.
Yes.
You know, they've some of my favorite hoppy ales, IPAs, period, have been Troon beers with honey in them.
Yes.
I can't remember the names.
Right.
But yeah, good.
All right, so we mentioned Conclave before. We're drinking Conclave. You are getting some sips in on this, so you can give your opinions.
Dude, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
As good as it gets.
But let's talk District 96, because they did a triple collab. It's called Cerebus. It's a collab with Conclave and with Twin Elephant. It's a 9% double IPA, triple dry hopped with Nectaron and Nelson.
Crowned King Cobra, 10% triple IPA.
Which sold out super quick. They posted it today and it was sold out today.
See?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the weather's getting nicer. Maybe people are just like, time to get out of the house. I'll fucking blow some money on beer.
Maybe. I don't know, man. And District also released Circle Back, a 4.6% Pilsner.
Ober Creek Quartet. Number 154 is an 8% double IPA dry hop with Galaxy HBC 586, Citra, Nelson, and Mosaic.
And we'll be talking to Chase from Top Beer Drops later this episode. A lot of this quartet series, they seem to all be kind of making it on there. They're super solid beers. I know, I would say Ober Creek's maybe your favorite brewery to visit. I don't know if that's hyperbole. I didn't ask you this beforehand, but
listen. I've been going up to the Catskills for a long, long time for vacation. Maybe there's like an essence of that that just lingers in the air that makes me feel like I'm at home, but not at home.
Mm.
One of the best places to drink beer, really, I think, in New York State. I haven't been out to the Finger Lakes. I know you've said there's some beautiful locations like Tin Barn and other half, I'm sure. But just a unassuming, totally chill. You're on a fucking farm. Like, it's a working farm. There's people driving tractors not that far from you while you're sitting there drinking beer and hanging out.
Yeah. For those who have not been to Ober Creek before. Definitely make the trip out. It's I will say, once you're getting there, you're like, I think my GPS took me to the wrong location.
Correct.
You drive through basically really like residential like streets, and you're like,
and then there's a little tiny sign.
It's like, the brewery can't be over here, can it? And it is.
Yeah, no, that's why, like, you know. Yeah.
So we're looking ahead. I'm going to guess Quartet 154 will make it to Top Beer Drops. But what definitely did was 153.
That is an 8% double IPA, dry hopped with Waiiti, NZ Cascade, Citra, and Matueka.
And they also recently brought back Smiling from a Hole, 8.2% double IPA with Nelson Sauvin. Staying in that general area. And so here's the thing, and we're going off on tangents here, but
you know, barley wine.
the barley wine, yeah. The barley wine has me yammering here. But when I talked to Molly, so she mentioned hospitality, and she was in, you know, for the brewery, those are the things that really bring you into places and make you want to come back. You can find good beer in a lot of places, but when
– Now you can, yes.
Now you can, yes, yeah. Yes. Maybe not a few years ago. But now you want to go back to a place where you have a good time and the people are nice to you. And obviously the beer is good. That's going to be the number one thing always, obviously.
Of course.
But you want some place where you feel welcome and you feel like home. And, you know, I know you have had that with Ober Creek. Let's talk Tin Barn. I always feel like that when I go over there.
Very welcoming place, yes, as well.
So they just brought out their Lost Luau beer 2024 edition. It's a tropical triple New England IPA, dry hopped with a combination of Citra, Motueka, and Waiiti. This year's version also includes Brew One.
And Hiding in the Shadows, 13% Imperial Stout.
Equilibrium has a bunch of – well, they have two cool events coming up. So let's start in chronological order. We talked about in the beginning.
Pi Day, Thursday, 3:14. They will have some inspired beers on draft that day. Pi Squared, Triple India Pale Ale with Brazilian Plainfolia Vanilla.
A lot of times when I do this, I'm just like, Brazilian vanilla.
Yeah, you know, that's probably like, what I should have done.
Or when they have a bunch of countries, like, in three types of vanilla.
I don't read ahead, though, that yeah. I get, you know.
They also have peanut butter pie. I want to try this one quite badly. It's a dessert-inspired imperial stout.
Also, one-off surprise.
Ooh, what could that be?
Bonfire will be slinging barbecue flatbread pizza pie specials. And they will have pie for dessert with an E.
Yes, pie with an E. The very next day, so that's on 3:14. If you are a math person, pi is 3.14, and then it's infinite. It can never stop, so you can never go to...
But it does, because the next day is something else.
Yes, but yes. So the next day is Patty's Cocoa Cream Day. That's March 15th. They're going to have their Cocoa Cream Stout on tap and on-site only variant as well. There's also going to be plenty of green pilsners, and the bonfire will be smoking up corned beef specials. Nice.
Ooh. Barrel-aged triple singularity. It's a collab with Moxa and 8th State. This is an imperial stout aged in Stag Junior barrels for 24 months, then conditioned on raw and toasted coconut, black and white cookies, Bolivian cocoa nibs, and Madagascar vanilla.
They also recently released Maple Dream Dessert, an imperial stout aged in Heaven Hill barrels for 24 months and conditioned on maple-coated peanuts. I want some of those. Mm-hmm. Maple syrup, coconut, and marshmallow.
Return of the Juice, 8% ABV, double IPA, collab with Great Notion with a whirlpool of Citra Lupamax and a dry hop of Citra Lupamax, Eclipse, and Matueka. I haven't heard of Great Notion. Like, I feel like the only place I've heard or seen Great Notion is on Tavor, once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
It's cool. That
they put out some really great stouts last year.
Okay.
But yeah, I haven't, I guess the last few months I haven't seen much.
When I was like first going to the other half lines, now this is like 4 or 5 years ago easily, Great Notion was like the brewery.
Yes.
They were like the boys to beat.
The first boys time. Or girls. Yes. They used to crowler their beers. And when you used to have some of their, like the double stack, first time I had double stack, my buddy Pete brought it to a bottle share.
You had goosebumps?
The smell was one of the best that I've ever had on a beer. He opened it. It smelled like you were in like a breakfast – like a breakfast spot, you know, like a Meemom's or something like that. Like one of these like really like –
Wow.
Yeah, like a pastry – it was pastry pancakes. It smelled so good. Yeah. Back to Equilibrium. They also did Dual Coasts. It's an East meets West Coast double IPA. Basically, West Coast water profile with a whirlpool of Simcoe and Columbus, and then Simcoe, Columbus, and Citra in the dry hop.
Root and Branch – Life and Fate 15 or 25. Jesus. Experimental multi-oat wheat double IPA with Nectaron.
They also did Dead Man on Holiday, multi-oat wheat double IPA brewed and dry hopped with Citra, Comet, and Simcoe hops.
The Three Shadows, Part 1. Imperial Stout aged in stainless steel at 50 degrees Fahrenheit for 2 months and conditioned on organic raw cocoa nibs, Madagascar vanilla beans, and sea salt.
They also did James, a dry Irish-style stout that received a heavy dose of pure nitrogen. That one is draft only.
Twin Elephant. I can't even say this.
I'll say it. So it's an Irish-style stout. It's 5%. It's called.
I can say that.
It's called Whacking Day, and so you're. Maybe you don't get the reference. This is a Simpsons reference.
Okay.
Yes, and it actually has cool artwork on the can. It is not to do with anything else.
Every day is Whacking Day,
especially when you're a young teenager.
That's right. Nosh, 7.4%. American IPA with Galaxy and Comet.
And they brought back True Believer, their IPA collab with the Bouncing Souls.
Oak Flower Leap Beer, 12% double dry hop, quadruple IPA with Citra and Nelson. I actually had this beer.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Oh. I have yet to have it. It's got monster ratings.
Yeah, it was good. I'm not a quad guy. You know, I'm really not, so I'm not fair to judge that beer. But, you know, as far as 12%, the IPAs go, that was very good, you know.
And I think it's funny because, you know, you think of Oak Flower, you think of lower ABV, more drinkable stuff. But all the high ABV stuff that I've had has been excellent. Pops
was
one of the better beers of last year, in my opinion.
I'm not knocking Oak Flower because I just feel this way in general about every like 12% plus triple IPA that I probably ever had. For me, it just tastes like somebody put a shot of vodka in the beer. You know what I mean? I can't get past that. Well, but it was good.
I have yet to have it, and I want to. It's got monster ratings, and honestly, I've loved pretty much every single beer I've had from Oak Flower.
So. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Let's talk about the next one that they have. This one is one I'm super excited about. It's called What? No Ziti Now? It's a Brett Pale Ale with Cashmere. It is a collab with Dan from Decora. You know this one's going to be funky and cool and different.
Oh, yeah. Ludlow, 3.5% dark mild. Dan, you love your dark milds.
I do.
Part of Forest and Main's March mildness.
Yes.
Very good.
Autodidact has two beers that we're going to talk about. Glint, it's a 7% IPA. That one is back in cans. And also Dawn Chorus, a 3.4% table beer.
Timber, Chasm of Darkness, Silver Wax. It's a collab with 8th State, aged for 24 months in Willett Rye Barrels. Non-adjunct.
Evil Twin NYC, this Kikosh needs a bigger beer selection. It is a sour ale with Concord grape, blueberry, cocoa nibs, coconut, and marshmallow.
You know what a Kikosh is?
No, I do not. I think it's like a bodega.
Ah. Sheridan Stout, inspired by Dead Rabbit NYC's Irish coffee cocktail. This stout is brewed with Demerara sugar, nutmeg, vanilla, and toasted oak spirals.
And this is a very Evil Twin NYC name. We didn't have to think too much to name this double IPA. That's the name of the beer. It is a double dry hopped IPA with Citra and Rakow.
This is a great name. In Leap Beers, I've only had one. Double IPA dry hopped with Matuaca, Nelson, and Rawaka. Love it.
Yeah, let's talk Magnify. This is one where if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, we had an incident with this beer. It's called Egg Hunt. It is a 5.5% Easter-inspired smoothie sour brewed with vanilla ice cream, marshmallow, and lactose. If you have this beer, please follow the directions on the can.
Don't open it over your dining room table. If you haven't been listening for a long time, that's a hint as to what happened.
I think
last
it was
time.
Like 2 or 3 years ago we had that one everywhere. It went everywhere.
Yeah,
and exploded. Then you know, we talked to a few people. It's like, oh, you didn't see the instructions. It was like shake the can, roll the can, all this stuff. We did not do that.
No,
it came straight out of the fridge.
God, we didn't do that. It was fucking. That would have been made everything worse. All right. Bourbon barrel aged through the use of technology. 12% imperial stout aged in bourbon barrels for 12 months before being conditioned on maraschino cherries, vanilla, coconut, and hazelnut.
Alternate ending. That's my beer. It's a collab with Ghost Hawk, 4.7% cream ale.
Munson, 5.5% American amber lager.
And Brick City has Jams Era. This is an all-new 8% double IPA. It's got the same dry hopping rate as their heady jams, but double the amount of hops in the kettle that they normally use. This one is brewed with Excelsior hop sauce on the hot side and double dry hop with Citra, Eldorado, and Allura. Brand new beer. Sounds super cool.
Cool. Ocean Walker, 6% New England style pale ale, double dry hopped with Cashmere, Neo One, and Eldorado.
I'll let you talk about Marlowe because the first beer we're going to talk about from them is something that you might find quite interesting.
The Gilded Hand, 11.5% ABV. It's an English-style barley wine, as it should be, conditioned on toasted hazelnuts and Tanzanian vanilla.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
They also released Sheldrake, a 4.4% ABV English mild, also made for the Forest and Main Mild Madness Passport. And basically, for those who don't know what that is, Forest and Main is kind of telling a bunch of breweries, hey, let's make some dark milds. You get a piece of paper, you go to the breweries, you get a little stamp, and you have chances to win things. The more places you go and do it.
Cool. Wims Gossamer, 4.7% dark mild. Here we go again. Also part of F&M's March Mildness Passport.
They also had Fistful of Haze. It's a collab with Farm Truck Brewing. Farm Truck Brewing is one that I have not been to, but allegedly it's very close to Lillo's tomato pies. And for those of you who are big foodies, Lillo's is supposed to have some of the best cheesesteaks anywhere. So it's really? This is a trip I have to make at some point. I love cheesesteak.
The Camden area?
It's I don't even know, man. It's down south. Down okay. South Jersey.
Jersey.
Yes,
not
it's
PA.
In Jersey. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. But everybody says Lillo's is as good as any place in PA.
Wow.
That's what it that's no, what
the,
I mean.
Hey, listen. The best cheesesteaks are in Camden. Donkey's is in Camden, right? Anthony Bourdain said that. The best cheesesteaks are in Camden.
I've got to go to Donkey's too. Now Donkey's is a
I'll
different
take his
type
word
of,
for it.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the brewery, also down in that area, kind of. It's in Lawrenceville. Am I Citra 2? It's an 8% IPA with, you guessed it, Citra.
Ports Ahoy, 5.2% porter with chocolate and vanilla.
And Kane has double Cascade Head High. It's 6.4% ABV IPA, hop with Centennial, Citra, and High Oil Cascade in the Whirlpool. Dry hop with the same traditional head high dry hops, but double the amount of that High Oil Cascade hops.
Carton, Irish Coffee, 12% Imperial Cream Ale, aged in oak with nutmeg and mint leaves, out this time ahead of St. Patrick's Day. I guess they put it out after St. Patrick's Day traditionally?
Traditionally, it's... It, basically every other year, maybe it's on New Year's Day, the day that they come out with the, you know, the coffee series of cream ales.
Okay.
But this one is done ahead of St. Patrick's Day, which is cool.
Makes sense. The Seed.
Ooh.
Fiden's released a collab with them called Amanda's Axe. This is an 8.5% double IPA with Nelson, Citra, Matueka, Nectaron, and NZ Cascade.
Really want to get my hands on that, but it's a pain in the ass getting on, getting Fiden sometimes.
Getting Fiden? You have to go down to Atlantic City, though.
No, no, no. This one was released at Fiden's. It was just something I figured we would throw in the episode because it's something I want. It looks really good.
Oh, I'm sure it's delicious.
Yeah. All right. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Chase from Top Beer Drops. That's coming up right after this.
Try to be best, because you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the
welcome back to Season 4, Episode 7 of America the Brutiful. In the past week, the week that was February 24th to March 1st, 475 new beers were released from the top 440 breweries around the U.S. And joining us now, as always, to talk about some of those beers is Chase from Top Beer Drops. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
All right, so let's start with number one, obviously, and this was a big, big, big drop, and you previewed it, that this would make this list, so let's talk about it.
For sure, yeah. Number one this past week was, you know, they've teased it for a couple weeks now, but Forager with Double Barrel Millers, an Imperial Stout, looks like it was aged on Buffalo Trace and Heaven Hill Barrels for 21 months. It's, yeah, a big, big beer, 14.9%. And yeah, it's clocking in at a 4.7 when we profiled it on Sunday.
Huge, huge, huge rating. All right, let's talk about, there's a tie for number two. Let's start with an anniversary beer at number two.
Sure. Yeah, let's do it. So this brewery actually slid into my DMs because I posted a list a little bit early that didn't include ratings for Saturday. I didn't realize that Untappd hadn't updated yet. And they said, hey, you kind of snubbed us. You didn't profile us. So I actually had to pull down last week's list and republish it with some correct ratings. But yeah, New Image is our number two brewery with the anniversary release of 8. It's an Imperial Milk Stout, 12.52%. Yeah, let's see. Superstition Mead Barrels is what it was aged on. So it's got to be a funky.
That sounds really cool, actually. Yeah. And I said anniversary without realizing that both of the beers tied for number two are anniversary beers. So let's talk about the other beer that was tied for number two.
Yeah, good call. So Horace actually helped out with a beer shop in Seattle's 25th anniversary. The beer is called BWXXV, which is basically Bottle Works 25. Bottle Works 25th anniversary ale. It's a barley wine. And yeah, clocking in at 12.2%.
Awesome. All right. Number four is one I'm super excited about. They've been making the list a decent amount already this year. So let's talk about them. New Jersey Zone. Tell us who number four is.
Yeah, number four, Oak Flower Brewing. And you know I love a good pun, Dan. This is a beer called Leap Beer. It's a quad IPA, so 12% IPA. Were you able to get your hands on this one at all?
No, so I was actually in Texas last week when when this came out. And I'm pretty sure it's long gone as far as cans. I did actually look today for the fun of it, and it is still on draft. So I don't know if I'll have time to get there before it's gone, but really looking forward to this one. And I looked at the ratings, and I think it actually went up from from when this came out, which is crazy for an IPA. Like IPAs usually start off kind of strong, and then they start to dip down a little bit, especially with such a massive, massive rating.
Yeah, you're right. It was a 4.61 when we profiled it on Sunday, and it's a 4.62 today. So
nice,
cool.
And you love puns. Number five is a pun. So let's talk about it.
Sure. Yeah. Number five is another pun. Sir Blends a Lot by Microphone Brewing. I don't know if this. I feel like this was a celebration type of beer as well. Maybe it was just a decorated beer at FOBAB and things like that. But yeah, big 14.56 ABV Imperial Stout. It's a blend of five barrel aged Imperial Stouts by Microphone. So.
And actually, number five, there was a triple tie for number five. Quadruple tie for number five. If I'm looking at this correct. Let's talk about the wheat wine that is tied for number five, because that's a style I really like, and you don't always see, breweries put that out and it making the list.
Yeah, for sure. So Barreled Souls out of Saco, Maine, put out their 9-year-old Fitzgerald bourbon barrel aged honey pot. A big wheat wine. 4.58 is what I was rating at, 15.5%. I'm going to check some of these since it was a tie. This one also went up in ratings. It's sitting at a 4.61 right now, so standing the test of time.
Wow, that's a good little jump, too. I mean, once you get this high, it usually doesn't jump that high.
Agreed.
Let's go to the next one that's tied for number five, Deviate. Let's talk about that beer.
Yeah, Deviate's been making the list a handful of times this year. So they're out of Indianapolis. The beer that they made it with is an imperial stout called Caligula's Grin. It's an 11.9% imperial stout. It looks like it's bourbon barrel aged with marshmallows. So I'm sure it's got that kind of fun mouthfeel. I'm going to check in on ratings right now. So 4.58 when we profiled it. Again, it also jumped up to a 4.6. So
very cool. And then the final beer that was tied for number five, again, four-way tie for number five, is a brewery that makes it, you know, just as much as anybody else to this list. So let's talk about the final of the number five tied beers.
Yeah, so the final fifth tie beer is none other than Brujos out of Portland. I don't know if this was their first release since getting into their like new spot or actually like opening their doors to their new spot, but it's probably first or second. But Citra Acra 2024, so they've made a couple different versions of this in historic years, and yeah, this one was sitting at a 4.58. It has slid a little bit to a 4.56, but that's on 314 ratings, so take that for what it's worth. I think that's still a really, really solid triple dry hop double New England IPA.
And for number nine, I was excited to see this brewery on the list, and they've been making it a pretty good amount with these the beers of this series. So number nine is Ober Creek, and it's with Quartet 153. Listen, this whole series has been fire, so really cool to see them make the list with that.
Yeah, cool thing. They also slid into my DMs and just said, hey, we've made the list 5 weeks in a row. We just really want to shout you out. Yesterday's or this week's release, this was for last week, for Quartet 153. They mentioned this was the first time that we ever had a line before opening our doors, and a few people in line cited Top Beer Drops as how they knew about this and what brought them out early. So I thought that was really cool. It's cool to see little breweries kind of succeed and make big waves next to a Brujos or you know, a Horace or some of these bigger names, you know.
And we'll probably talk about Ober Creek in just a minute when we look ahead to next week's list, but let's talk about number 10. And number 10 is a monster collab.
Big one for sure. Okay, so number 10 is North Park, and who were we just talking about? But Brujos. They came up with a triple New England IPA called Conjurers and Conquerors. Great name, a little bit of a mouthful. It's a 10% triple New England IPA. It was sitting at a 4.54 when we profiled it on Sunday, and as of right now, it looks like it's sitting still at that 4.54, so kind of holding its rating there.
Very nice. All right, let's look ahead to next week. Anything you're keeping an eye on? And I'll say right now, we just talked about Ober Creek at number nine. That was with Quartet 153. 154 they've announced. So most of those have been making the list. I would guess that's one that's probably on your radar.
Definitely, yeah. But I've got eyes on that. Another one that is sitting pretty well right now is actually one that we a brewery that we profiled quite a bit. I don't know if it was in 2023, maybe it's 2022. They made the list pretty frequently, but Juicy collabed with a I want to say it was for a good cause. I don't remember if it was a shelter or something like that, but they put out a pastry sour called Rolling With It, and it's sitting at a 4.59. It was released this past Saturday, so.
And that's one of my favorite breweries to go to. I mean, I've only been there once. I had such a good time there. I'm hoping to get kind of back down to Virginia and definitely giving them a shout when I do, for those of you who haven't been there. Anything else that you have an eye on?
I hate to say that might be it for now. Yeah, Ober Creek and Juicy are the two that I definitely have bookmarked for now. But yeah, if there's anything else that comes across your desk over the next couple days, make sure to let me know.
I will definitely keep my eyes open. Chase, thank you so much for joining us, as always. And until next time, America, drink up and stay beautiful.
best. Let's hope the best.